Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, holy and anointed one, Jesus, sing Jesus.
Able to sing. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus, we praise and magnify your name. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for signs, wonders, and miracles that you see fit to place in our lives. For this is the day that you have made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, we thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. And Father God, we thank you for the Institute of Biblical Learning.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to learn more about you, to see your face clearly, for you to reveal yourself to us.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's on this call, every family representative, God.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, Lord, for meeting everyone at the point of their need and then giving them super abundantly above, in the name of Jesus. We bless your name today, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the seed that shall be sown. We thank you, Lord, that it shall be sown on good ground. And we thank you, Lord, for the harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing. And Father God, we thank you for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, the Lord God, curse you and rebuke you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
We curse you from the root command. You be bound in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Father God, we bless your name today.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. And we bless your name today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, I'm going to turn off this.
Power off. Thank you.
Okay. Pastor Peaches.
Hallelujah. Yes. Ready for roll call? Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Please answer to your name. Angie Harris?
Yeah.
Phoebe Stevenson?
Phoebe's in the house.
Oh, Tiffany Warren? All right. Tiffany's at work early when I spoke to her.
Oh,
all right.
Bless the Lord.
Yes.
Well, the first class that we're dealing with today is spiritual maturity.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank God for that. And I need y'all to help me out today. Now, we mentioned three elements that will help towards spiritual maturity.
Ooh.
Anybody know what they are?
Yes, Sister Kibi. The three keys towards spiritual maturity. The Word of God. Prayer and fellowship.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah.
Sounds
like an A on
that. Amen.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You want the scriptures? Got those two.
No. I'm a, Sister Angie, you have your notes? Do you know the scriptures that were given for those?
Psalms 1, 2, and 3, 2 Timothy 2, 15, 2 Timothy 3, 16, and 17, and Psalms 119 through 105. And first Corinthians 5 and 17.
Uh-huh.
Woo-hoo!
All right.
Amen.
There's one more scripture.
Oh, Luke 18, verses 1.
Okay, and there's another scripture past that. Wonderful, Mike.
Woo!
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2 through 5.
25, all right. Praise God.
Oh,
hey, You get an A, and you get an A, and you get an A, and you go woo!
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, that's good. That is so good.
Glory to God.
Yes.
So it's
important to for y'all to understand that.
Hallelujah.
And I want to share something, too. The five levels of knowledge helps you towards that as well.
Amen.
The learned knowledge is the milk of the word, okay? But when you get to revealed knowledge, you have moved from the milk of the word to the meat, because the Holy Spirit reveals stuff to you. You have discernment. You have a spiritual sensitivity. You begin to when something comes your way, you don't try everything else and just say, well, I may as well try God. You think about what God says and what the word has said about his place. And that's,
amen.
Hallelujah, that's revealed knowledge. And then you move on from there. And, of course, activity knowledge, that's actually doing the thing. And see, when you get to activity knowledge and you're doing the thing, and then modeling knowledge, you find somebody is doing what you want to do, and you want to be excellent, so you be the mentee. And you follow them, and then after a while, you'll be able to teach somebody else. So you move the milk of the word to the meat of the word, using it in your life, and then sharing it with others. That's spiritual maturity. You can actually see yourself maturing in the faith as you walk that walk. Hallelujah. So praise for y'all. Y'all are awesome. That is so good. Praise God. I'm trying to think if there are any more scriptures. I think I think y'all covered all those scriptures. My goodness.
Yes, sir.
Y'all even covered a scripture that I even forgot.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah, me too.
Impressed. Elder QB, I'm impressed with y'all. Y'all, I tell you, I'm so proud of you.
Yes.
Bless you. God bless you. Now, where is it?
You have one question.
Yes, go ahead.
Angie, you said another scripture I didn't get. Did you say Proverbs?
Proverbs.
Did you say another scripture?
No.
It
might have been St. Luke 18:1. Do you have that one?
Yeah.
Do you have that one, Albuquerque?
No, I have all that. But I thought she said one I did not have. That's why I was just checking to make sure.
No.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Psalms 1, verses 2 and 3. And
yes, I got that. I thought she said something else.
Second Timothy. Do you want to go over those again, Sister Angie?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Psalms 1, verse 2 through 3. Second Timothy 2:15. Second Timothy 3:16 and 17. Psalms 119:1-5.
That was Psalms 119:105. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
First Thessalonians 5:17. Luke.
Thessalonians.
Yeah. And Hebrews.
Let me hear you say it, so we can get used to saying it. Thessalonians.
Thessalonians.
There you go. And that's 5 and 17. Hey, go ahead.
Right. And then the last one was Hebrews 10:25.
All right.
Right. Okay. Yes, ma'am. We're on the same page, girl.
Amen. I'm impressed. All right. Now, where did we leave off last of the reading? Did y'all mark your books?
Yes. C3. We stopped at the last paragraph under admit your weakness.
Okay. Since you have that, can you start reading Elder Curie?
Yes, sir. Use God's resources. This is the last paragraph on page 63.
Okay.
The psalmist makes a direct connection between his weakness and God's strength in Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The power of God is unleashed when we humbly depend on him for strength in the midst of human weakness. God's resources are available to overcome temptation. God promises that as we grow near to him, he will draw closer to us. As we approach God with a humble heart, he promises to give us the needed resources to overcome temptation. James 4:7-10. End of paragraph. Next paragraph. Shall I go on? Because that will end the page.
Okay.
In Ephesians 6:10-20, Paul refers to some of God's resources as the armor of God. He challenges Christian soldiers to protect themselves defensively with truth, righteousness, the message of the gospel of peace, faith, and salvation. He goes on to challenge believers to arm themselves effectively, with the word of God and persistent prayer. While the word of God silences the accusers from the enemy. Peachy, may have to help me. I think it's accusers. While the word of God silences the accusations from the enemy, persistent prayer keeps us close to our gracious and forgiving Father. The power of the Holy Spirit is unleashed in our lives through the word of God and prayer. Through these resources, God makes it possible for us to overcome temptation. End of paragraph.
Amen. You notice it says word of God and prayer. You see, they're saying the same thing we shared. But the enemy is the accuser of the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
You're working for the Lord as hard as you can, and he'll say, oh, you ain't going there. You ain't for real. He will tell you, he accuses you of not being real.
Mm-hmm.
The devil is a liar and the father of them. Comments or questions about those two paragraphs?
I know that God says, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto thee.
Mm-hmm. And that was Psalm 73. What was that verse when you started in the first paragraph? Psalm 73, verse
26.
Interesting.
The psalmist makes a direct connection between his weakness and God's strength. In Psalm 73:26, it says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Hallelujah.
The power of God is unleashed when we humbly depend on him in the midst of human weakness.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And, Sister Angie, I'll read the next two paragraphs, please.
Okay. Guard your thought life. Faith comes from the heart. Matthew 15:18. Any strategy to overcome temptation must begin with the heart. If a sinful thought or desire is not dealt with immediately, it may lead to sinful behavior. When Christians fall usually is because they have allowed sinful thoughts and desires to burn unrestrained in their hearts over a period of time. The way to overcome many common temptations is simply to discipline our thought life. In his explanation of how he avoids falling into Satan's schemes, Paul states that we take every thought captive to obey Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. In order to continue to grow and mature in Christ, we must guard our hearts from any thought or desire that would violate scriptural principles or laws. By dealing ruthlessness with sin at the thought level, we depend the thought ignite into a simple action. This can be as simple as quoting an appropriate scripture verse or softly singing a hymn. Spiritual
song.
By pouring our thoughts to God, we will receive deliverance from temptation. In the paragraph.
Right. You can continue to read the next paragraph, if you will.
Okay. Establish patterns of holy living. Establishing a godly lifestyle begins first with,
cultivating
a heart for God. Second, overcoming temptation, and third, establishing patterns of holy living. While the early stages of developing new habits are more difficult, the more we practice them, the more intensive they become. This was true for me when I was learning to snow ski as a 9-year-old. With my long wooden skids, it seemed impossible to turn. After many faces, plants, and twisted ankles, however, I finally learned how to make simple turns and come to a stop without hitting a tree. While the first attempts to be seen
torturous,
evenly faster turns and steeper hills. Perseverance paid off in college when I landed a job as a ski instructor. The pain was definitely worth the gain. The same is true with learning to live like Christ. In order to establish patterns of holy living, we must first maintain biblical standards. Second, discipline all areas of full life. And third, be accountable to godly Christians. In the paragraph.
Hallelujah. Any comments or questions about what was read? Hallelujah.
That's a mouthful. I'm telling you.
Hallelujah.
It starts with a thought pattern, it seems. As soon as a negative thought comes in, usher it right on out.
Amen.
I think Joyce Meyer says, think about what you're thinking about. Because if you allow it to stay and fester, it turns into something else more deadly, and you can't afford
it. If you've heard me say many times, don't saute, don't marinate, don't ruminate.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Don't curse it. Don't don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, it's rehearse it. And you do it,
yes.
And you heard them talking about quoting scripture, singing songs, or using your prayer language.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say that, but use your prayer language. Get those thoughts out of there.
Amen.
If they take root, it's just like a weed. Once you let a weed stop growing, next thing you know, your whole garden be full of weeds.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It'll try to choke the very life out of you.
So it
talks about stunning your growth. They used to say, when you smoke cigarettes, that's going to stunt your growth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I know, negative thoughts will definitely stunt your growth in God. Hallelujah.
Mm.
Amen. Yeah.
What'd you say, Kiwi?
I said that's why we have to watch as well as pray.
Right, yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And my saying is you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure enough stop them from making a nest in your hair.
That's
right.
That is so true.
When those thoughts come, in the name of Jesus, say, let me speak in the name of Jesus. Hurry up and get them out. I'm serious. Don't let them stick. Don't, after a while. I mean, no. Say, oh, my gosh, wait. But you know what? Because I used to, oh, my gosh, where did that thought come from? Sometimes it wasn't me, but then I had to learn how to, some thoughts would come, and it was God dropping things in my spirit. But then when they were negative things, that wasn't from God. And so this was, Satan, the Lord rebuke you, the blood of Jesus. When thoughts don't line up with the word of God, you know it's not God.
Amen.
That's right.
And the thing that you will see yourself is that when those thoughts come and you easily, you quickly use a scripture or you sing a song or you go into your prayer language, you know you're growing. Because 5 years ago,
yeah,
you wouldn't have done it, you know. Or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 50 years ago, you wouldn't have done it like that. But you know you're growing spiritually when you begin to use your weapons of your warfare readily.
Amen.
You pick them up real quickly. Oh, I got to get rid of it. Because every thought that comes through your mind ain't yours, y'all.
Amen.
That's right.
Every put stuff on in your mind. It ain't yours.
Amen.
A lot of times, it may be the flesh. It may be the demons that want to do you harm, and they try to get you over on their side. They try to get you in the pig pen. They try to get you to a place that you don't belong.
Mm.
And you got to get those out of there right away. Because the weeds that come in your garden, it's new weeds. You ain't putting no weed seeds out in your garden. You know they don't belong to you, so you need to excise them. You need to cut them out. You need to get rid of them. Hallelujah.
And I think the quicker establishing a godly lifestyle, and the more word we, the more we stay in the word, and the more we have word in us, when those thoughts come, I think, and when we rebuke them, the quicker they go.
Amen.
Well, you know they you know how sometimes you know we say, well, I'm gonna put this on the altar, and before you know it, you think about you picking it up again, But when it comes to the thoughts, when you have the word of God filling up those spaces in your heart and in your mind, those thoughts, they go. You're able to rebuke them, and they're able to go. It's just like,
amen,
okay, boom, they're gone.
You have to treat it like a soccer ball. You know what they do with soccer ball. They kick it, is that right?
Amen.
You kick them out of your territory. You kick them away from you. And I'm gonna tell you, the more, and the quicker you do it, the better you're gonna grow. The more you're gonna be blessed, and the more people around you gonna be blessed. Because you know, weeds and stuff, bad stuff don't want to just stay by itself. It want to affect you and everybody around you, called collateral damage.
Mm.
We want collateral blessings. We don't want collateral damage.
Amen.
We thank God for that knowledge. Hallelujah. The closer you get to God, the further those things get away from you, and the more you get in tune with His word.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he got a lot of word there. Y'all know that there's 788,280 words in the King James Version Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. His word is real. It's almost like a football team. That's called a playbook. The Bible is your playbook. That teaches you how to do what you do. The Holy Spirit is your coach. He's your defensive coordinator and your offensive coordinator. It lets you know how to use the playbook. And then when you start getting into activity knowledge, you'll be able to really practice and really get it done right because the Holy Spirit is the one that's teaching you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But anyway, glory to God. Thank you.
Pastor, can I just say one thing, too?
Yes.
Sometimes you'll just get a check in your spirit if something is not quite right. You thought it or went past you, go, no.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel right, so I'm putting it under the blood. I'm going to pray about it right now.
Yeah.
Sometimes you may not even understand it.
Mm-hmm.
If your antenna goes up, deal with it immediately.
Now that's
again, shows how sensitive you are to the Lord, too.
That's what I was getting ready to. You took the words right. You're reaching in my mouth and taking out the word. That's when you become sensitive to the spirit of the living. That's called discernment. I'm not talking about the gift of discernment, but this is just discernment. Mm-hmm. When you get a catch in your spirit that something's not right, there's something off kilter. It's in your spirit. You can't put your hand on it, but you know that something's wrong with this picture. That's when Yakara bullshit or start singing something designed. Jesus, I love you, Lord. I lift you. Or just begin to speak the words of God. The word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Like you said, Pastor, it shows that you're growing. Because like a month ago, it wouldn't have done you like that. You wouldn't even have felt it, you know. But now that you're becoming spiritually sensitive to it, you know, to deal with it.
Yes, and like I said, you don't, in your spiritual walk, you don't compare yourself with other people.
Amen.
You compare yourself with yourself.
Yes.
And with the word of God. That's your comparison, you and the word of God. And you compare yourself and say, I want to be a little bit more about the Lord today than I did yesterday. I want to grow just a little bit more tomorrow than I did today. You know, you want to keep on growing because God is always moving. He's been moving, and we want to be in the move with Him. So you don't compare yourself with other people. About anything. Hallelujah. You walk your walk. You run your race.
Mm-hmm.
Worried about the other folks, you're worried about yourself. Thank you. Hallelujah. You go ahead and walk your walk and talk your talk. And you stay in the word of God and you compare yourself with what the word says and you compare yourself with yourself. But that's it. That's as far as that one goes. Hallelujah. But we thank God. Here we do two more paragraphs of the QV.
Yes, sir. Maintaining biblical standards. The first thing we must do to establish patterns of godly living is to know and follow biblical standards of ethics, morality, justice, and love found in both the Old and New Testament. God commands Christians to be holy and blameless in their behavior simply because of the fact that He is holy. Leviticus 11 and 44. In 1 Peter 1 and 15. In order to grow like Christ, we must strive to be like Him in His holiness. In the paragraph. The standard of holiness must be God's standard. Perfect holiness rather than adopt the standards of morality practiced in the word, in the world, or even the church. We must continually seek to live up to God's principles and standards of holiness in His Word.
Yes.
The fact that believers will always fall short of God's perfect standard should not discourage us, but rather drive us to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
There is no need for Christians to feel condemned for falling short of God's standard of holiness. Romans 8 and 1. By confessing our sins to our Father, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1 and 9. Through the blood of sacrifice of Jesus. Okay, that goes together. Okay, I didn't read that to the end. He is the faithful and just forgiver of our sins. 1 John, through the blood of sacrifice of Jesus. Those who are true followers of Christ are made holy by the act of God giving his son as a sacrifice for our sin. Galatians 3, 2 to 3. End of paragraph. Should I go on?
Yes.
I still got some more for under this. While we are challenged in Scripture to live up to biblical standards of holiness, it is not in order to earn God's favor or to appease his wrath, but rather as a heartfelt response to his amazing grace. By merely presenting ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, we are acknowledged as acceptable to God. Romans 12 and 1. The secret to holy living is giving our whole self to serve God rather than conform to the standards and lifestyle of the world. We follow the principles, standards taught and modeled by Jesus. As our hearts and minds are transformed by the Holy Spirit, we, like Christ, become living examples of God's will. God and acceptable and good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 2. Patterns of holy living will be evidence of such a transformed heart and mind. End of paragraph.
Hallelujah. Any questions or comments about these two paragraphs of the QB read?
To me, it just sounds like you got to be totally sold out. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Don't give them the basement or the back room. Give them the whole house.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. Ain't no shimming and shamming and ducking and dodging and stuff, you know? And the standards of holiness are high standards. You know, they are. And sometimes we fall short. But he has given us the armor in the previous paragraphs. So he's given us the armor. So therefore, we must arm ourselves. And so therefore, it's almost like, we may fall short. But if we do what he tells us to do, why should we even fall short? Thank God for his grace and his mercy when we do. But sometimes, sometimes, before we leave out the house in the morning, sometimes we may forget to put on our armor, but that's why it's so good. When we had prayer in the morning, it just seemed like blesses your whole day. It gets you in a mental state for the whole day. It just blesses you and reminds you to arm yourself, and it gives you a chance to put on your armor so that the enemy don't trick you. He don't try you. And you get ready for him. When you putting on that armor, it covers your emotions and your thoughts and everything.
Yes, it does. It sets the atmosphere to receive.
Yes.
You know,
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. It's one thing to understand this, that we must all understand. If you love the Lord and you want to serve God, the enemy is going to come by you. He's going to attack you. That's why you have to put on your whole armor every day. If the enemy doesn't attack you, if any enemy doesn't come and try to mess with you, then you're most likely you're in his camp.
Yep, you're already here.
He's worried about you.
That's right, you're already here.
Because you are to him, he want to mess with you. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I want you to know that. We thank God. And the more you grow spiritually, the closer you get to God, my goodness. I heard one testimony where someone who wasn't about anything, who was one of those worship the devil, tried to put some stuff on some Christians, and they went... They went to put a spell on these Christians, And what they threw on the Christians bounced back and hit them because the Holy Ghost all over them and a shield around them.
Yeah.
That's why we got to be for real with this thing. We can't be perpetrating no hope. Because, see, our faith and our love for God has to be real. So if we want to be protected, hallelujah, because the enemy wants to steal, kill, or destroy you. Well, you want to be protected.
Amen.
Get in the arms of the hallelujah, the arms of safety. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Any more questions?
Thank you.
Because that was the alarm clock. Any more questions, comments about what we read today?
It just feels like good.
Yes,
delicious.
Yes, yes.
Finger licking good.
Yes.
Fried chicken, finger licking good.
And
I want to say again, I'm so proud of both of y'all today. Y'all.
Amen.
On the quiz, y'all didn't know what's happening today.
Hallelujah.
But praise God. We thank God for you. And we just encourage you. We have two more Tuesdays.
Hallelujah.
Let you know that the next semester for the Institute starts the first week in January. So we have a whole lot of time in between. So we're going to be, once we're out of the Institute, we're going to go back to the seven
Bible
number and regular Bible study. But just want to let you know, the next class will be in January, the first Tuesday in January. So that's going to be a while from now, but we want to just let y'all know the plan to be in there, because we want to keep going.
And please keep refreshing yourself and your notes of the things that you've already learned so you can just build upon it. You don't lose anything. You're building upon it.
Use the same book you got.
Yes.
You're going to have some of the same classes. Just keep on going from there. We're going to use some the same books, et cetera, and keep on going from there. But thank you so
These
much.
These are building blocks. These are building blocks, and we build upon it.
Amen. But definitely remember the WPF, Word, Prayer, and Fellowship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Y'all are so awesome.
Amen.
By the name of Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
Class of His spiritual maturity. We thank you, Lord, for what our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. We thank you, Lord, for the comments, questions, and all the reading of the book. And we thank you, Lord, for what you open up to us, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Continue to bless the students as they go to their next class. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God
amen.
Hallelujah. And you had, let me see how many minutes you had. Okay, that's pretty good. You got 7 minutes till the next class. Hallelujah. I didn't take too much of it overtime. 7 minutes.
Good to hear you, Angie. Miss you, girl.
On.
I beg your pardon?
I said, it's good to hear you, Angie. I missed you, girl.
Oh, okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me put the music on here. Hallelujah.
Well, I was sitting in the kitchen with my cousin Frank, and when I go to something really nice, down around the corner at Uncle Angelo's, is that little piece of bread buffet. Well, old Chief wanted pizza even more than me, so I gave him $1 and then. 4 hours later, and would you believe that Cahoots never came back again? Well, I was starting to worry, so I called in a hurry a bartender I know named Pete. Now, where he'll find out if he don't already know. at what's happening on the street. He said that crazy Rui seen Frankie walking to a church and wants to know what it's all about. He said, the Frankie that I see walking to that place ain't the Frankie that I see walk out. There was a knock at the door, and there he stood. I had never seen such a sight. His face was lit up and glowing all over like a Christmas tree at night. He said, I found the Lord. Somebody claimed my life from my feet up to my head. And the joy that I have, you going to have it too. And he raised up his hands and said, well, he said, I claim your life in the name of Jesus. Months since Frankie found the Lord, and happiness, it just ain't died. Oh, I told Jesus, hey, yo, God, give me this peace and love inside. Well, the Lord just touched me right there on the spot, and the first thing I wanted to do was to go and find my little brother Dominic. Oh, the Lord claimed his life, too.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are we all still here?
Amen, we're all here.
We're here.
Amen. My clock, I have a... Okay, 7:50 now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Roll call. Angie, still here?
Here.
You be still here? Oh, all righty then. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And tonight,
thank you.
And tonight we are on, talking about, go into the book of Ruth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. When we've heard of the book of Ruth tonight, all our lives, what statement do y'all comes to your mind?
What statement?
Yes, when they talk about the book of Ruth, and there's a
great grandmother of David.
Okay, there's a saying, there's a quotation.
Oh, where thou goest, I will go.
Yes.
That's her statement.
Uh-huh.
That was heavy. That was so heavy.
Yes, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Hallelujah. That's in Ruth 1:16. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes.
Okay. Let's open up our Know Your Bible.
Right.
Page 19.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Who would like to start? Forgive me, Lord. Father God, we thank you for class tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for every opportunity that you've given us to get around your word and to learn more of you. Father God, we don't take it lightly. We take it as an honor and a privilege. And we thank you, Father.
Thank
Lord God, your word tonight has been sown on good ground. We ask you, Lord God, to bless the students. Hallelujah. Bless their memories. Lord God, you said the word of the Lord is, the memory of the just is blessed. And we thank you, Lord God, for bringing things back to our remembrance. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for the word of God that's being sown in our hearts, is sown in our ministry, in our memories, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for every opportunity that you've given us to learn more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Would anybody like to start reading? We're in the book of Ruth. In our book, Know Your Bible, page 19.
I will.
All right, thanks, Angie.
Amen.
Author not stated, some suggest Samuel. State, Ruth, the great-grandmother of King David, who reigned approximately 1010-970 B.C., probably lived around 1100 B.C.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 words or less, loyal daughter-in-law pictures God's faithfulness, love, and care.
Mm-hmm.
Detail, please. Ruth, a gentle woman, married into a good... Ruth, a Gentile woman, married to a Jewish family. When all of the men of the family died, Ruth showed loyalty to her mother-in-law, Naomi, staying with her and scavenging food to keep them alive. As Ruth gleans barley in a field of the wealthy
Boaz,
he takes an interest in her and orders her to watch over her. Naomi recognizes Boaz as her late husband's relative.
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 Relative. and encourages.
Encouraging?
Encouraging Ruth to pursue him as a kinsman.
Kinsman Redeemer.
The Kinsman Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
One who was a relative.
Relative's
widow to continue a family line. Boaz marries Ruth, starting a prominent family. Mm-hmm. In the paragraph. Continue to read?
Yes, please.
Okay. Quotable, whether thou goest,
whether thou goest,
I will go, and where thou
lodgest,
I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. First. Chapter 1, verse 16. Unique and unusual. Ruth from the
pagan
land of
Moab.
Moab.
Mm-hmm.
Married a Jewish man and became the great grandmother of Israel's greatest king, David, and ancestors of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So what we can trust to provide what we need when we need it and to work out our lives in ways that are better than we ever imagined.
Yeah.
See you.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to read something from the Amplified, and I'm going to give you all a short outline. Okay. The book is named after the principal character whose biography is given in this brief account. It may have been written during the reign of David, whose ancestry is traced in the final verses to his great-grandfather, Boaz, whose wife was Ruth the Moabitess. It was during a peaceful era in the days of the Judges that a famine in Bethlehem precipitated the migration of an Israelite couple, Elimelech and Naomi, to the land of Moab. Shortly after the marriage of their two sons to Moabite women named Orpah and Ruth, the three men in this family died. When Naomi returned to her homeland, Ruth insisted on going with her. In the course of time, Ruth and Boaz were married. From this lineage came the ruling dynasty of Israel, which began with David. Something else I want to read to you, and then I'm going to give you just three things in the outline. Let me get two hands. Wait a minute. Four. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, okay. This lovely story should be read in connection. Well, this has some history on the Book of Ruth. This lovely story should be read in connection with the first half of Judges, as it presents a picture of life in Israel at that time. Typically, the book may have taken on a foreview of the church. Ruth, as the Gentile bride of Christ, the Bethlehemite who is able to redeem. Ruth also gives a normal Christian experience. Number one, Ruth deciding in chapter one. Number two, Ruth serving in chapter two. Number three, Ruth resting. Three. And number four, Ruth rewarded. Four. So outline. I want y'all to write down number one, Naomi, migration and return. Y'all need me to spell the name Naomi?
Yes, please.
N-A-O-M-I.
And you said Naomi what?
Naomi's, put apostrophe behind Naomi's name. Apostrophe S. Migration, M-I-G-R-A-T-I-O-N. Naomi's migration and return. And this is in chapter 1, verses 1 to 22.
Chapter 1.
Verse 1. 1 to 22.
Okay.
Okay.
Number 2. Ruth's favorable reception. And Ruth is R-U-T-H, and do a put apostrophe. Her favorable, F-A-V-O-R-A-B-L-E, Ruth's favorable reception. This is in Ruth 2, 1 to chapter 3, 18.
How do you spell reception?
R-E-C. E-P-I-O-N.
The chapter is in.
Did you ask a question? Did you say something, Kibi?
Yes. You said the chapter again.
Oh, 2:1-3:18.
Okay.
Number 3, Boaz and Ruth, and Boaz, B-O-A-Z, and Ruth, 4th chapter, 1 to 22.
4th chapter.
1 to 22.
1-2. Okay.
Boaz and Ruth.
Yes, just Boaz and Ruth is number 3.
Okay.
And I'm really, when I was reading this, to me, the first chapter felt like it set it up for, I guess, the whole book. And Kibi, can you start? It has 22 verses in it. Can you read from 1 to 11, the verses in Ruth 1, please?
Yes, ma'am. I have it right here. It says, now it came
to... Hello?
Peace.
Hello?
Ian may have hit the mute.
Hello, hello.
Check your mute.
Oh. Where
is my
line? No, I'm open. Now it came to pass. Can you hear me?
Okay, now I can.
Okay. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem's Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife, and his two sons. And the name of the man was Ephraim. Imelech. And the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of the two sons were Mahlon
and
Shilhah. Ephratius of Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Ephraim, Naomi's husband, and she was left with her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Noaham and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. But she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Therefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return into the land of Judah. And
Naomi.
And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deals kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they left. And they lifted up their voice and wept. And then they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And they only said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. And if I should, have I hope if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons? Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me.
Oh, stop. I'm sorry. I want you to go to read to 11. I want Angie to pick up because it's only 22 verses. I want you to read half of Angie. Read half. Pick it up, Angie.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Kibby.
13.
And they left up there and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleaved unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her God return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou loggest, I will log. Thou people shall be my people, and thou God, my God. Where those
where thou diest,
will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also part thee and me. When we saw that he was
steadfastly
minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Maria.
Mara,
for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Continue reading.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I went out full, and the Lord haste brought me home again empty. When they call ye me Naomi, he and the Lord haste testify against me, and the Almighty haste affected me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth,
Moabitess, uh-huh,
her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country, and Moab,
uh-huh,
and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest.
This is not a very long book. Can you pick up reading, please?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And Naomi had a kinsman. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh, yes.
Okay. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of
Elek.
Okay. His name was Boaz.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reap, and her help was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi. Say her name for me.
Naomi,
out of country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.
Mm-hmm.
So she came and forth and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here. Fast my maiden. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them.
Mm-hmm.
Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee?
Mm-hmm.
And when thou art artist, go into the vessel and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in my eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity and art came unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Okay. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken kindly has spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reaper, and she reached her parched corn, and she did eat.
Suffice, and left.
And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handful of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. For she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephraim of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wouldest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her, daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near a kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maiden, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean within, to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dealt with her mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. God provision. Wow. And God gave her favor.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That was favor. I'm sure that he didn't know her. And it's like, y'all, I have some down there on purpose so she can get it.
Peachy, I was thinking he also sensed her spirit and her nature.
Uh-huh.
He would not have said or gone the way he did, because
uh-huh.
that really could show him in another vein. But he wanted to assure her. He wanted to protect her and provide
uh-huh.
for her and honor her. So he did all of these things in speaking
mm-hmm.
to her kindly.
Mm-hmm.
That was heavy.
Yes.
Very romantic, too.
Yes. Because she didn't have to stick with her mother-in-law. She could have gone too. Because the other one left.
But I do believe Ruth looked at the lifestyle of Naomi, even though she was upset about losing her menfolk. She saw her livelihood, how she worshipped God. For her to, it made her thirsty for what she had. Because she could have gone back to her idol worshiping or back to her country, but she chose to be with her and to not leave her, to be of assistance to her. So that was a type of love, a true love between a mother and daughter-in-law that sometimes people today don't have.
Yeah, you're right. Because and today, everybody seems like they're out for self. When it comes to thinking about somebody else, that's on the back burner.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm going to get mine. They're all out for self, and it's selfish. And they're not thinking about someone that had looked out for them, or somebody else, or somebody that's less fortunate. And it is just like, I'm going to get mine and poo-poo on you. You're an old woman, go somewhere and sit down, go sit in the rocking chair or whatever, and I'm going to take care of me. And she was young enough to get married again. But see how God blessed her, how God is favoring her. There's something in the eyes of somebody else that she didn't even know. But let's continue. Because I'm jumping here. Angie, pick up chapter 3.
Okay. And chapter 3. Wash thou. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of how of our
kindred.
Uh-huh. So wait, behold, he with a winnowist.
Uh-huh.
Barley. Yeah, barley tonight in the
threshing floor.
Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thou raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known until the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall be when he lieth down,
mm-hmm,
that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and undercover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and undercovered his feet and lay her down. And it came to pass at midnight, the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou?
Thou.
He answered, oh, thou. Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy shirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou taste you more kindness in the latter end than art the beginning. And inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest.
Requires
for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. How about there is a kinsman nearer than I? Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord lives, lie down until the morning. And he lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the vow that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured six measures of barley.
Barley.
And laid it on her. And she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." Then said she, "Still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he has finished the thing this day."
Amen.
Oh, sookie.
That was an interesting story.
Hot and heavy now.
I would love to see this in a movie. pick it up, KB, please. The 4th chapter is Ruth being rewarded.
Uh-huh. When went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, "Oh, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, that is come again out of the country of
Moab,
sell a parcel of land, which was our brother, Elimelech. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the land of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabite, she, wife of the dead, to rise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." Now the kinsman said, "I cannot demand it for my feast. I mar men's own employment. I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. For redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the banner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to conform all things, a man plucked off his shoe and threw it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoes. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have brought all that was, and all that was Shalion.
Shalion, in my home.
Of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Moab, and I have purchased to be my wife, to rise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his price, ye are witness this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witness. The Lord make the woman that is come unto thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and be thou worthy in Ephrath, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let the house be like the house of Perez, whom Terah bore unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of his young women. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord that hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons that bore him. And Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became nurse unto him. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, this is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of
Perez,
Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab begot Noashon, and Noashon begot Solomon, and Solomon begot
Solomon.
Boaz.
And Solomon begot Boaz.
And
Boaz begot
Obed begot Jesse and Jesse begot David.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's why my Jesse, when I had Justin, he had to be David because his father's name was Jesse.
Hallelujah. Glory. And if we were to continue the genealogy goes right on up to Christ.
Yes, thank you.
Well, this is romantic. Oh, wow.
Yes, it is. Very romantic.
Yes. Hallelujah. Any questions or comments? Hallelujah.
I was thinking the respect that was done.
Uh-huh.
And you honored the law. You knew what you wanted to do, but you used the law to be honorable so it would turn out the way you wanted it. And God moved because, you know, the other kinsmen, he had to give the rights to him first. But when he said, okay, I'll take the land and everything, but he said, well, wait a minute. There's a wife that comes. Well, he said, oh, hold it. I can't take all that. Then I can't do it. So that left the door wide open for Boaz, and that's what he was hoping for.
Hallelujah.
He had to do it the way of the rules and regulations of the tribe, you know.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. God will work. He works the system and works it out for you.
Uh-huh. Well, and God will give you favor. When you bless somebody else, when your purpose is to bless someone else, you know, and God will bless you in return.
He'll give favor.
And sometimes we wonder, like, oh, Lord, I need this, I need that. How am I going to make it? When you honor God, and I say it so many times to the young people, when you honor God, God will honor you. He will honor you. Sometimes it seems like we're forgotten. We're out on a limb. We're by ourselves. But when you honor God, when you honor the people in your life, it may not seem like they maybe even seem like even worth honoring. But when you do what God tells you to do, God will bless you. And he will, even if it's someone else may have what you need, and you think like, they don't even know me. How in the world are they going to help me out? God can give that. God can make a light shine around you, make that person find favor in you. You be wondering, wow, how in the world that happened? It's God. It's God. And you'll end up with stuff that you don't even know that he even had any idea in giving you.
God works in mysterious ways.
He does. He does. That's right. And the only thing we have to do, just like in the previous class, arm yourself with the word of God. Do what God says to do. Dig deep and stick in the word of God. And cover yourself in the word. Dig deep, follow yourself in the word. Clothe yourself in the word of God, with the word. Hallelujah. And there's no telling where God will take you. Truly, it's no telling where God will take you, where you will end up, and who you will be able to bless. Because that's what we want to do. We want to be a blessing to people. We want to be a blessing. Hallelujah. The next class and last class will be August the 8th. Hallelujah. Please go to the next chapter. That comes after Ruth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's where we'll probably be ending up. We'll be ending this semester. Hallelujah. The book of First Samuel. I'm sorry, First Kings. No, First Samuel.
First Samuel, yeah.
Yes, First Samuel.
I got real quick, Mr. Peachy.
Yes.
We don't see the way God sees.
I'm sorry, so say that again,
I'm saying we don't see the way God sees. So that's why we have to use blind faith and trust him. Just trust God knows what's going to happen, and he's going to bring us out on the other side because he cares for us. Just like a parent, do what your parent tells you to do, even though you don't understand, because they tell you, don't go to that corner and do X, Y, Z, but to save your life, but you don't know that.
Right.
But when you do what they tell you to do, like kids are running down the street, they know to stop right there at the corner. Going out in the street, it saves their life. So that's what God does to us. Just do what I tell you to do and trust me.
Yes, 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 for real. For real, but and I used to have to have to tell the girls when they were little. I said, look, just because you know, you didn't. I said, you know what? Just for the sake that I have lived a few days longer than you, please do like I asked. Because they didn't see why I was telling them certain things, and sometimes the Lord would drop things in my spirit to talk to them about. But they didn't see why. Oh, why are you saying that, Ma? You them blah 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 blah. No, just for the sake, just listen. Just for the just obey me. Even if it's only for the sake that I have lived a few days longer than y'all. I know what I'm talking about. And so many times they'll come back, Ma, you were right. But a lot of times in human nature, they wanna see everything, and we ourselves wanna see everything. One of my sisters said, you know what, Lord? It really would be nice if you could tell me what you're doing right now. But that's our nature. But he wants us to have faith in him. He knows the whole picture from the beginning to the end. We don't. It would be great if we did, but there wouldn't be a need for faith if we did.
Well,
so therefore, that's why we have to, okay, God, take my hands off of it. I'll do just what you say, dear. Okay, I'll do it, Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for a time with you tonight. We ask you, Lord God, to continue to bless your students. Thank you, Lord God, for continuing to bless the pastor and myself. We thank you, Lord God, for giving your children sleep tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for every opportunity that you've given us, Lord God, to sit around and to learn more and more and more of your word. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Your word is sweet. Hallelujah.
Yes,
sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord God, for every opportunity and privilege, Lord God, and honor that you've given us, Lord God, to be able to learn more and more and more of you. And we thank you, God. We praise you. We worship you. And we just thank you, Lord God. Bless Elder Kibbe and bless Angie, Lord God, in a special way. In the name of Jesus. And also Pastor Bird, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And we worship you. Hallelujah. And we just adore you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Jesus, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a good night.
See you in a few hours.
Yes.
Love y'all.
Love you too. See you in the morning.
All righty.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Your name is light, darling, on my lips.
Oh,
it's like water
to my soul. Your breath is
an anthem to my
feet.
Jesus,
I love you.
I love you.
Your name is light.
Spirit, you are the water. You are dry, that's the soul.
Thank you, Jesus.